In all the work of the church, we have always some people who will tell us what the Word of God means and what it really means to be a Christian. We will have preachers who will point to us the real meaning of walking with the Lord. We'll have teachers in Sunday school who will show us the real meaning of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have fellow Christians that will draw us closer to Him by showing us what it really means to walk with the Lord. Now, most of us, as we meet this sort of thing, we have a feeling of withdrawing from such persons. Sometimes they're really irritating. Have you ever been felt that way about some people? You've been around with them, perhaps in church or somewhere else, and they make a proposition, something like this. Well, I think we should pray about that. And then they want to plan a prayer meeting. Have you ever noticed how people, generally speaking, don't like that? Then again, someone will say, well, I think we ought to have some Bible study. This talk is all right, but I really think we ought to study some Scripture. And they bring the Bibles out and they want to study the Bible. You ever noticed how people feel about it? You know, it's a strange thing. Right in the church and around the church, you can become the most unpopular person if you just bring out the Bible. Not every church, I know, but in many places. And in the same way is true with reference to praying. In many places, if you mention that you want to pray, there are any number of people just, well, this isn't the right time, and we've already done that, you don't need to do this. They just oppose to it, and they just don't like you for doing it. The same is true in the home. You'll have people who, see, in the family, they'll have the general feeling, well, I go to church, and I've been there on Sunday, and that's enough. They just don't want you to do any more. They don't want you to talk about it. They don't want you to have extra prayer or anything like that because they're just opposed to it. Well, now, the early church had that kind of experience. They were living in Jerusalem. They were around with other Jews. And they claimed that everything the Lord Jesus Christ showed was the truth of what they had in the Old Testament. And so they testified that way. One of these, as we have been noticing, was Stephen. And Stephen had gotten up and told these people that God wanted to dwell in their hearts, and that it wasn't enough to just have a temple made of wood and stone. You needed to let your heart be the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that God Himself would come to be in you. They brought him into court, as you remember, and they accused him of teaching things that were contrary to the Old Testament Scriptures. Now, he wasn't doing it, but they said he was. And they then gave him an opportunity to give an answer. And we noticed in our last study about his answer. It goes all through the seventh chapter for the first 53 verses. We have this whole thing set out, how Stephen talked to these people to explain why he stood where he stood, showing them that the Scriptures were teaching these things. And the way he talked to them cut them to the heart, meaning to say they really felt smitten with the truth of what he said, but they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were filled with rage. Now, if you're following me in your Bible, and when you open your Bible in the seventh chapter, we're going to start reading on from verse 55. And I think possibly the best I can do is just read the verse and point out some of the things that have impressed me about it. Take verse 55. But he, that is Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord. Notice what we read. He, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven. This matter of being full of the Holy Spirit means that he was completely yielded to God, and he knew that God was with him and that God was in him. It's being conscious of the fact that the Lord God Himself has come into your heart. You're looking into the face of Jesus Christ, who is actually alive. Humanly speaking, physically speaking, you do not see Him, but in spirit you do, and you have personal dealing with Him. This man, being full of the Holy Spirit, no part of his consciousness that wasn't influenced by the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now, you see, he could bear witness as to what he saw. The other people around there couldn't see that. They probably, if they'd looked up, they wouldn't have seen that. Maybe they'd have just seen sky. They wouldn't have seen what he saw. But he gave his witness and his testimony. Now, you see, when he gave his witness and testimony, he was telling what he saw. They didn't see it, but he was telling what he saw, implying that it was really there. It's a good deal as if a person were looking through a telescope. One man looks through a telescope and he says, I see three stars. The other man looks through the telescope and says, I only see one. Well, you know, that doesn't change how many stars are out there. One of them saw it more accurately than the other. And so it is with reference to this. This man, Stephen, standing in front of these people, looking up into the heavens, could say, I see the heavens opened. Who could say that he didn't? And the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God, well, who could say he was a liar? He was telling what he saw, and that's what was shown to him. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. That's the way they would react to it, you see. They made a big noise like in a riot, and they stopped their ears, plugged their ears with their fingers, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. They cast him out of the city means they took him outside the city limits. There was a law against stoning a man to death inside the city. So they took him outside the city limits, and there they stoned him to death. It wouldn't be just one stone. They just throw and throw and throw, and it would just kill him in that fashion. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet. It was physical exercise, these throwing of these stones. It'd make you tired. And too, your garment, your coat, and so on would get in the way. So there was a young man there by the name of Saul. That's the first time that Saul is mentioned in the book of Acts. This is the man that became the great apostle Paul. And by the way, this record here, as you notice it, it doesn't say that he threw any of the stones. It just says he was there, and they laid their clothes at his feet. They must have trusted him. He was a dependable character, and he was likely going to be there till it was all over. So they laid down their clothes at his feet so nobody else would take them. Then they went out to stone this man to death. Paul himself later in the book of Acts, you will read, he referred to this. And he said that when the martyr Stephen was stoned, he was present, consenting unto his death, agreeing to it. All we just want to notice is that Saul was there and saw the whole thing. In fact, many people are inclined to think that what happened to Saul afterwards was partly affected by what happened to him here. Because he saw Stephen die, and he saw this whole situation. And he heard Stephen say, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Later on, we're going to read how Paul on the Damascus Road, how he saw the Lord Jesus personally. But just now, this is the way in which it goes. And in verse 59, we read, And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Here again, let me just point out to you very quietly that Stephen didn't pray, Lord, stop them. And Stephen didn't pray, Lord, let them drop dead. He didn't say, Lord, send the soldiers to deliver me out of this. He didn't ask for one single change in the circumstances. Notice what he asked for. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. You take charge of me. Let my spirit go home to thee. He was expecting to be killed, and he was killed, and he was ready for it. And he had the power of prayer. He didn't pray to stay here. If this was God's will for him, that he should die for Christ's name's sake, he'd die. And he did. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That reminds you so much of the Calvary. You remember that? How the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Well, here it was. Lay not this sin to their charge. I want you to notice that so far as Stephen is concerned, he is not saying it was all right what they were doing. He's not saying, well, this is all right. No, it was wrong. He calls it a sin. When he says, laying out this sin to their charge, he is as much as saying, Father, I'm forgiving them. As far as I'm concerned, I'll never hold it against them. Doesn't make it right. And I can tell you right now, it isn't because they were nice. and he isn't doing this because he likes what they're doing. No, they're doing wrong, but he has the grace of God in his heart, and the grace of God in his heart moves him to ask the Almighty God to spare them about this thing. Now, that's not saying those men are going to be saved. All in the world he is saying is, lay not this sin to their charge. He's not saying forgive them all their sins. He's not saying because they're doing this violent, vicious thing, save them now just to show something big. He's not saying that. What he is just saying is, Father, when it comes to reckoning with his people, don't hold this against them. You know what I think privately? For myself, I think that when those men come into the presence of God to give an answer for the deeds done in the body, one of the things they're going to give an answer for is the fact that they had left out the Lord Jesus Christ and had stayed away from him. But I have a feeling that they'll never be asked to answer for the stoning of Stephen. My own thought is that Stephen would be granted this request. Lay not this sin to their charge. When they get in there, they'll have other things responsible for, but it won't be this. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, the English doesn't bring it out so well, the English words, he fell asleep. But in the Greek, the best way to say it in English is something like this. He fell on slumber. It's the language you would use if a baby fell asleep. And in this violent situation, with a riot going on, and these ugly, mean, cruel men stoning him to death, this man falls asleep like a little child in its mother's arms. The actual language is, when he had said this, he fell on slumber. And we can all think asleep in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. That's the way it was with him. It won't be given to many of us to follow through in the way in which Stephen did. You and I may never be called upon to actually endure the physical death like that. But some of you do suffer rejection, and you do have trouble with people who just don't like your emphasis on spiritual things. Take Stephen as an example. Be kind to people, be gracious to people, and pray for them. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to be kind and to be faithful. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.